News, I'm Gene Randall. Just 2 hours from now, U.S. President Donald Trump faces the start of open impeachment hearings into his conduct in office, the first such event in 20 years. After weeks of closed-door testimony involving current and former administration officials, the House of Representatives and a national TV audience will hear from William Taylor, the top American diplomat in Ukraine, and George Kent, who oversees Ukraine affairs at the State Department. The former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, will testify on Friday, with 8 more witnesses scheduled for next week. All of this is centered on allegations that President Trump abused his authority by pressing Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky to open a probe of former Vice President Joe Biden before he would release close to $400 million in military aid Kiev wanted to help fight pro-Russian separatists, a quid pro quo. Mr. Trump's Republican defenders plan to focus on his intent, insisting he had deep-seated, genuine, and reasonable skepticism about corruption in Ukraine and that his hold on aid was entirely reasonable. Unlike Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton during their impeachment hearings, political scientist Chris Galdieri says, expect Donald Trump to be an active participant on Twitter.
I wouldn't be surprised if you saw an awful lot of real-time commentary from him during the hearings, possibly even to the point of almost coaching Republicans during their time for questions during the hearing.
Israeli forces have carried out new airstrikes on Gaza, while militants there fired more rocket barrages into Israel. Palestinian health officials and the militant group Islamic Jihad said the Israeli attacks killed 2 people, raising the death toll to 12 since the latest round of violence began Tuesday, when an Israeli air assault killed an Islamic Jihad commander in Gaza. To stay up to date on all the day's news, you can go online to voanews.com. From Washington, this is VOA News. Exile Bolivian President Evo Morales has arrived in Mexico, which granted him asylum after he resigned his office on Sunday and fled his country. Bolivian opposition leaders say they are working to ensure a peaceful transition despite continuing political tensions. Here is VOA correspondent Mike O'Sullivan.
Soldiers patrol the streets of La Paz as supporters of Morales protest in Mexico City, where the former Bolivian leader arrived Tuesday morning.
Quiero decirles, estamos muy agradecidos.
I want to tell you, we're extremely grateful because the Mexican president has saved my life.
Morales resigned Sunday after weeks of turmoil, sparked when the 3-term president claimed victory in an election that critics say should have led to a runoff against former Bolivian President Carlos Mesa. Amid the unrest, he lost support of Bolivia's military. The White House applauded Morales' departure, which it said reflects the will of Bolivia's people. Elsewhere in Latin America, supporters of Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro said Morales, who was his nation's first indigenous president, was the victim of a U.S.-backed plot. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
While the impeachment inquiry plays out on Capitol Hill today, President Trump is set to meet with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan at the White House, a visit ripe with controversy. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports Erdogan is in Washington with a list of complaints.
Turkey's president says Syrian Kurdish fighters have failed to vacate areas along the Turkish border, despite agreements with Russia and the U.S., and says he'll talk with President Donald Trump on it. Speaking before departing for Washington, Erdogan said he would also give Trump documents listing terror attacks allegedly carried out by Maslam Abdi, the commander of the U.S.-backed Syrian Kurdish-led force. Turkey wants U.S. officials to arrest Abdi. Ankara believes the U.S. nor Russia have been able to clear northern Syria of terrorist organizations within the time they promised. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A car bomb explosion rocked Kabul today, and at least 7 people in the Afghan capital were killed, with at least 10 others, including children, wounded. An Interior Ministry spokesman said the early morning blast targeted a foreign private security company vehicle and that 4 company employees were among those injured. There were no immediate claims of responsibility for the bombing, which came just days after a lull of violence in Kabul. Wednesday's blast comes a day after Afghan President Ashraf Ghani freed 3 high-profile Taliban prisoners in exchange for 2 Western hostages, an American and an Australian. Gene Randall, VOA News.